Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today began the penalty phase of Scott Peterson's murder trial. He's been convicted of two murders, murdering his wife, Lacey Peterson, and his son, Connor. And now the jury is determining whether he should get life in prison or the death penalty. And, of course, as Christians, we are advocating that Scott Peterson be executed. In fact, the whole routine of going through this question of should he get life imprisonment or the death penalty, that is inherently an offense against God, inherently. Because God in the Bible, he says, don't ignore me. Don't think that I'm just common, that I'm just like somebody you could ignore. But you have to execute convicted murderers. Every murderer shall surely be put to death. And God said, will you profane me, keeping people alive who should not live? So if you want to profane God, if you want to act like God is common, then you could oppose the death penalty for convicted murderers. But if you want to humble yourself before God, then of course you would support the death penalty. And not only that, when Christians are weak on the death penalty, they undermine the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they do, because God the Father required the death penalty, crucifixion, for the demands of justice to be met for our salvation. And when liberal Christians go along with the left and they undermine the validity of the death penalty, they're ignorant, they don't realize it, but they are undermining the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, when the penalty phase began today, kgov.com was there. We were out there. That's our website. You're listening to Bob Enyart Live in Colorado on KLTT, 670 AM, 50,000 watts. And on the web, we are at kgov, kgov.com. And so KGov, we were there in Redwood City at the courthouse handing out a few hundred flyers this morning calling for the execution of Scott Peterson. And we knew that, you know, this judge has made rulings, as have other judges, that you can't make your opinion heard near the courthouse. So we went prepared for all kinds of possibilities, eventualities. We had two different flyers. The one flyer has Scott Peterson's mugshot on it, a color photo, with his goatee and his mustache. And it's New Testament support for execution. And right off the bat, it says that some Christians reject the death penalty, including for Scott Peterson, and it gives the reasons why Christians do that. Now, we knew that chances were that we'd have a hard time distributing these at the courthouse, and especially if we wanted a juror to see one of these, forget that, right? That couldn't be. And so we made a second flyer, a parallel flyer, and instead of Scott Peterson's mugshot on the cover, that his photo's not there. In fact, his name doesn't appear anywhere in this alternative flyer. No mention of his case, the Peterson trial, Lacey or Connor, nothing. Instead of his mugshot, there's a red stamp, you know, like a stamp, you stamp something, a red stamp, and it says jury safe, jury safe. In other words, jurors can read this, it's jury safe. And on the back of this flyer, it's basically the same flyer, only without the references to Scott Peterson. And on the back of it, it says, it has our logo there, jurysafe.com. It's one of our new websites. And we're going to keep this website up permanently for people who are on juries. And they could go there to see what the Bible says about criminal justice. So it says jurysafe.com on the back. In fact, you could go to that website, providing generic information online regarding the Bible's teaching on criminal justice. This website is safe reading for sitting jurors, as no case-specific information ever appears here, and even sequestered jurors do not lose their religious freedoms. So you can read this. So I'm going to share this with you, what's in this flyer, and just so you can have a picture of what happened this morning, Keith Mason, he's been on the show a number of times, he's the field director for Survivors, the pro-life ministry of people, young people born since Roe v. Wade, 1973. And Keith is stationed out in California. And so he brought some of our friends to Redwood City, California. And they got there before any of the courthouse personnel showed up. And the media was setting up. And they were out there with their shadowgov.com t-shirts on and handing out these flyers. And they handed out. Then people started arriving and going into the courthouse, and they were right at the doors of the courthouse handing these out. So a couple hundred went into the courthouse, which was good. That was our goal. And then a police officer came over and said, I'm sorry, there's a standing court order. You're not allowed to distribute anything, have anything about the Peterson case within a couple blocks of the courthouse. So Keith Mason, because they saw the flyer and it has a big color, the mugshot of Scott Peterson on it, and it's New Testament support for execution. So obviously it has to do with the case. So the police officer was letting Keith Mason know that he liked what they were doing, but maybe now that most of their flyers were distributed, they had to stop. So anyway, Keith said, okay, officer, we understand, but how about this flyer? And he showed him this other one. Because this one here, I'll let you hear it. This flyer has Scott Peterson's face on it and all about his murder of his wife and child. But this flyer has a big red stamp. There's no face on it. It doesn't say anything about Scott Peterson. And it says, jury safe. Look, officer, this flyer is jury safe. And so the officer looked at it and he said, yeah, that looks safe to me. He said, this is not an official decision here, but my own personal opinion, yeah, you could pass those out. So it was so funny, right? We were ready for any eventuality. And the guys continued to pass these out, and then another police officer came by and overruled. He vetoed the first and said, you can't even pass those out. But by then, they were pretty much done. All the media were very interested in both flyers, and jurysafe.com. In fact, I was on the phone with a producer for Court TV when he went to kgov.com. First, he went to jurysafe.com, and he had a kick out of it. And then he went to kgov.com, and he saw the link that said Bob burned O.J., and he went there and saw that we bought O.J. Simpson's memorabilia at auction and burned his Hall of Fame award and jerseys on the steps of the L.A. courthouse. He said, hey, this is fun. You guys are fun. And so anyway, they set up another interview for tomorrow morning with Court TV. And Keith Mason was videoed and the guys helping him in the shadowgov.com t-shirts, handing out flyers by CNN somewhat extensively and Court TV and a few other TV cameras. So we're hoping to get the word out on the death penalty. So here's what this flyer says, okay? New Testament support for execution. Now, which one should I read you, the jury safe one or the Scott Peterson one? Which one? I'll ask the studio audience. Okay, the Scott Peterson one. It has his mugshot, and right under it, it quotes Romans 13:4, which says this. This is the New Testament. A governing official does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath. You hear that from the New Testament, that a governing official bears a sword and he's a God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath with the sword. So then the front page of the flyer asks, there's a question and then answer. The question, Do any New Testament books or personalities support the death penalty? Answer: Jesus, Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Hebrews, Revelation, and even an angel all support the death penalty. Some Christians reject the death penalty, including for Scott Peterson, because they say Jesus repealed an eye for an eye punishment. And the New Testament overturned the Old Testament support for capital punishment. And Christians must forgive criminals. And Christians should not judge. And Christians should not repay evil for evil. And only those who sin can enforce execution. And God commanded, thou shalt not kill. So they make all these arguments, including they say that you need two or three witnesses to put someone to death. Two or three eyewitnesses to put someone to death. And that's simply not true. But they quote a couple of Bible verses to try to prove that, but they're confused. So the front page of this flyer says, read the rarely considered New Testament passages inside, and then reevaluate these arguments against execution. So you open up the flyer, and lo and behold, there are all kinds of Bible verses in here. And it says this: the Apostle Paul did not object to execution. He knew and defended his rights as a Roman citizen. Yet while on trial for his life, he volunteered an endorsement of capital punishment to the governor in Caesarea. And then we quote the Apostle Paul in Acts 25, verse 11. He said, if I have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. You get that? The Apostle Paul's on trial for his life, and he volunteers. He says, hey, if I'm an offender, if I'm a criminal, and if I have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. That's an endorsement of the death penalty. And then the pamphlet continues. God said, vengeance is mine. Right? What does that show us? Vengeance is mine, showing that vengeance is inherently good. Vengeance isn't bad, it's good. But individuals are not to avenge themselves, but must allow God to avenge in his way. So Paul continues. Well, in that passage, he says, repay no one evil for evil. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. That's Romans 12. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells us, do not seek your own revenge, but rather give place to wrath. Then Paul explains that the proper channel for wrath is the governing authorities. The place for wrath is the government, because in the next few verses he says, let every soul obey the governing authorities. For rulers, the governors, the government, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. You get that? The governing authorities should be a terror to criminals. Now, godly rulers should be a terror to evildoers. They will be. God commands earthly governments to execute criminals with the sword. Here's Romans 13, verse 4. For the governing authority is God's minister. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. You see what that says? That the governing authority has a sword to execute wrath on the criminal. You get that? Please excuse my voice. I've struggled with my voice for 3 weeks now, ever since the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship event. Okay. So the Apostle Paul says, hey, the governing authority, God has established governments, and the governing authority should obey God, and they should bear the sword not in vain, and avenge, they should be an avenger to execute wrath on the criminal with a sword. A sword does not flog people. A sword is not used to spank people. It's used to execute people. The Apostle Paul instructs believers to not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. Governments are the place for wrath, for they are God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath. Individuals have one role, governments have another. Now, the author of the book of Hebrews also supports the death penalty, along with Paul. The certainty of an earthly punishment under the Mosaic law indicates the certainty of an eternal punishment for those who reject Jesus Christ. Do you follow that? When there's no justice in the world, when murderers and criminals go free, then people say, how could there be a God of justice? There is no justice. That's what people say. But when the wicked get punished, people will be more inclined to believe in a God of justice. So Hebrews 10, starting in verse 28, says, anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies, that's present tense, not in the Old Testament, but present tense. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law, like a murderer, dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? So execution teaches men of the certainty of God's eternal punishment. That's what it does. When government neglects the death penalty, people scoff at the second death. The New Testament reinforces Old Testament support for the death penalty. Let me read you a few Old Testament passages. The oldest book in the Bible, Job chapter 19, verse 29. Be afraid of the sword, for wrath brings the punishment of the sword, that you may know there is a judgment. You get that? Some people think, hey, there are no consequences. There's no judgment. There's no God of justice. There's no judgment day. But the oldest book in the Bible says, be afraid of the sword, for wrath brings the punishment of the sword, so that you may know there is a judgment. So you'll know there's a judgment day. In Psalm 58, verse 10, the righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance, so that men will say, surely he is God who judges in the earth. When you see vengeance, people go to a Mel Gibson movie, and at the end of the movie, the murderer, the kidnapper, gets judgment day comes for him. And he gets caught, he gets killed, he's punished, and everybody cheers. It makes you feel good in your heart because vengeance is good. The righteous rejoice when they see the vengeance, so that men will say, surely he is God who judges in the earth. And then Ezekiel 13, verse 9, God asks this question. He asks, will you profane me, keeping people alive who should not live? Isn't that an incredible question? If we let Scott Peterson live, now that he's been convicted of murder, we will be profaning God. Ezekiel 13:9, God says, will you profane me, asks the Lord, keeping people alive who should not live? You know what profanity is? That's gross, right? Profanity. God says, will you profane me? You know what he means by that? To profane God in this sense, it means common, to consider him common. So like someone, let's say you know somebody who's a knucklehead, and whatever they say is stupid, so you ignore them. You say, what does Aunt Pat think about that? Whatever she says, I'm going to do the opposite because she's stupid. All right, whoever your Aunt Pat might be. So you got somebody you just ignore all the time on everything. So God, if you ignore God, you're considering him common. You're profaning him. He says, will you profane me, keeping people alive who should not live. Now, some Christians say that's the Old Testament. Jesus is the one who said that. You know what you need? You need a red letter Old Testament Bible like I have. That's what you need. Because you're goofy if you think that because it's in the Old Testament, it's not relevant. Did Jesus quote the New Testament mostly or the Old Testament? He only quoted the Old Testament, and he did it constantly. Jesus affirmed the Mosaic Law. The public school teachers, you know what affirmed means? It means he supported it. He corroborated it. He agreed with it. Jesus affirmed the law of Moses, and he blasted the Pharisees for opposing God's commands, including the death penalty. In Matthew 15 and in Mark 7, Jesus said this. He asked, "Why do you disobey the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, yada, 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 yada," whatever. A lot of Christians, they don't care what God says in the Bible about executing convicted murderers. They don't care because they have their own tradition. Maybe they grew up as Democrats, and Democrats tend to be against the death penalty, many of them. Or maybe they grew up as Roman Catholics, and the popes have been mostly against the death penalty. So they don't care what God says. They're willing to profane the Lord, keeping people alive who should not live because of their tradition, because of the Pope, or because of the Democratic Party, or because of some liberal education they got in public school. So God got angry at the Pharisees and said, "Why do you disobey the commandment of God because of your own ideas? For God commanded, saying, 'He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you have a way around that, don't you?" He said, Jesus said to the Pharisees. Now, Jesus here, he didn't shrink from even this harsh statute in Israel, which his father had given to the Old Testament Jews. Now, why did God give Israel this command? If somebody curses your father or mother, let him be put to death. So much of the Mosaic Law for Israel, and it was for Israel only, much of it, so much of the Mosaic Law illustrated spiritual truth. And if you curse your heavenly father, what future do you have? You have eternal death. So it's either God's way or no way. If you don't go God's way, you end up in hell, separated from him forever. And so God, what looks like harsh laws, God gave the death penalty for various laws to teach the world through Israel that you have to obey God or the end result is death. So Hebrews 7, verse 12, says that because of Christ in the New Testament, there has been a change of the law. See, the law is no longer like it was for 1,500 years from Moses to Christ. Hebrews 7:12 says that since there has been a change in the priesthood, of necessity, there is also a change of the law. So when we quote Jesus here in Mark 7, verse 8, and Matthew 15, 3, we're quoting Jesus on this to show that he did not oppose the death penalty. Jesus supported the death penalty even for the most harsh statutes in the Mosaic Law. And how about while the Lord was on the cross? The Romans, they inflicted the death penalty on two other criminals. In the word for these criminals, it's not from like kleptomaniac, you know, the Greek word kleptes, a thief. It's not from that, but it's from the Greek word lestes, a career criminal, a hardened criminal. They were two murderers who were being executed. And Jesus was in the middle between them, and he said nothing in their defense, nothing. One of those two mocked Christ. And in response, the other one, the other criminal, who repented right then and there, whom Jesus would immediately declare righteous? The other criminal said this. From on his cross, he said, "We are punished justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." God wasn't forced to put that quote in the Bible, but he did, because it's true. And if there's something wrong with the death penalty, then there'd be something wrong with God the Father, who required the crucifixion for our salvation. Angels in heaven agree with just execution. Revelation 16, John wrote, "And I heard the angels saying, 'O Lord, you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due.'" Remember the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, that God gave them authority and power to execute those trying to harm them. Revelation 11:5. And the Apostle John, he wrote the book of Revelation, and he taught that you should reap what you sow when he wrote this. Revelation 13:10, he wrote, "He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." You get that? It's not an observation. Oh, he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. No, it's a command. If you kill with the sword, you must be killed with the sword. Well, some weak or liberal Christians, they're confused, and they say, if Jesus supports the death penalty, why did he say, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first," regarding the adulteress? Well, that woman, she repented, and God has the authority to forgive criminals, just like he did in the Old Testament with King David. He forgave King David. Yet God didn't repeal the Mosaic Law back in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel. And the Pharisees, with this woman caught in the act of adultery, the Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus, it says in John chapter 8, verse 6, into a conflict with Pilate, the Roman governor, because the Romans had revoked the Jews' authority to put a criminal to death. And so Jesus was thwarting them. He was not repealing the death penalty. Christians say you should not judge, but Jesus said that to hypocrites, to criminals. He said, "Judge not, you hypocrite," in Matthew 7. But to his followers, he commanded us to judge with righteous judgment and complimented, "You have judged rightly." And forgive, you have to forgive. You can't forgive a murderer. You could only forgive someone who sins against you. You're not God. You can't forgive Scott Peterson for murdering Lacey Peterson. What do you think, you're God? If somebody owes me money, you can't forgive the debt. You could only forgive the debt if they owe you money. Right? So in the Ten Commandments, they don't say do not kill. God says you shall not murder, just as Jesus quoted, "You shall not murder," in Matthew 19:18. And there's the difference. All right, we're out of time. I want to tell you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, 303-431-5653. What a neat, beautiful 20 acres, Christ-centered. Maranatha Christian Center, 303-431-5653.